Aaron's third sharing on the parable of Lord Jesus Christ. James, can you give me a name, please? Felicia. Okay, Felicia. Give me one of the reasons why the first three grounds cannot bear fruit. What's that?
Okay, they don't understand.
They don't understand. Which ground is that?
Yes,
by the wayside, right? So the first ground, they're not able to bear fruit. The one fell by the wayside. Why? Because they cannot understand it. And the reason they don't understand because...
Okay.
The reason they cannot understand it because something came and... Yes. Satan snatched it away, right? So if this means we listen to the word of God, we put it inside our hearts, there's no way that Satan can come and snatch it out of our hearts. This is very important, right? Yes, second name, please. Who's that? Oh, okay. Oh, Sarah, okay. I thought it was Sarah, but it's Sarah. Right, Sarah. That's a very unique name. The second ground. They couldn't accept it. Why? What kind of ground was that? They could not accept it. Yes, stony ground, right? Why cannot accept it? Yes, they cannot grow deep, and then because they not grow deep, they cannot what? They don't have root in themselves, right? Root in themselves. So that's why earlier, right, when Pastor Chen shared with us how we must keep the word of God until the end days. To the end days. Remember in Matthew chapter 24, when the disciple asked our Lord Jesus Christ, what will be the sign of the end days? What will be the sign of your coming? And what was the first thing our Lord Jesus Christ said? What was the first thing? You guys don't know the answer. I gave you the Matthew chapter 24 already. You should open it up, right? For me, that's how I remember, right? You know, when you want to remember things, I just turn to it and then because, you know, to the Bible and just look at it, meditate on it, right? So what was the first thing that Jesus said to his disciple? What would be the sign of the end days? Okay, but, yeah, what did he say? Take heed, right? Take heed. Take heed is almost like, you know, for you, right? You must listen that many will be deceived. Do not be deceived. And how can we not be deceived? You must have the fourth kind of heart. Next name, please. Kelvin Chen. Yes. I didn't ask yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. So, what was the third ground? Why cannot bear fruit? Yes, choked it, right? Did it bear fruit?
No.
Remember, right? In Luke, they say in Luke and Mark. No, in Luke. What did it say? It has need something to choke it, right? Luke, right? Chapter?
Eight.
Yes. And what did it say there?
They heard it, but it didn't mature.
Yes. So now it bear fruit, right? But this fruit did not come to maturity, to the point that you'd be able to eat of it, right? So quite often, you and I are like this. We listen to the word of God, and we want to bear fruit, but the things of this world, right? The riches of this world, the deceitfulness of this world, choke the fruit that we want to bear. That's why quite often, when we come to our HTS, NYTS, we get very excited, but we want to do something for God. But the minute we step our foot into the world, and then the world, the riches of this world, right, and the status of this world will choke that kind of fruit, and then we are so busy that we don't want to do anything else for God. You know, we always say our brothers and sisters in Africa, they have such great faith, right? Really, they do. When they are sick, there's no hospital to go to, so they pray to God and God will heal them. I remember the last time I went there, one of the brothers, he have skin-eating disease, right? A flesh-eating disease. You guys heard about that, right? You guys heard about that? This kind of bacteria or virus or whatever it is, right? So his leg was, you can see through his bone, right? And it smells so bad. He sit with his family, he cannot sit 20 feet, you know, close to them, right? Had to sit way far because it smells so bad. And actually have maggots and stuff inside there, right? So it was all rotten. Why? Because the bacteria, the virus, eating his flesh, right? And his whole leg, like his calf's area, is all, the meat's almost all gone. His brother is quite, you know, is quite wealthy, and you know, for a brother in Africa, they couldn't do anything for him. But because of this, he fasted and prayed off and on for 3 months. And during the process, God healed his leg, right? Little by little, little by little, little by little. And after 3 months, his leg was completely healed. But you can still see the outline of his scar, right? That all the meat was eaten, right? So they have such great faith. But most of them who come to the city to work, they never ever go to church again. This kind of faith is only temporary. Actually, when you meet a brother or sister who is very wealthy, have high standard society, and their faith is still great, and that truly that faith is great. But when we have nothing, right, of course we're going to rely on God. When we're sick, when we're about to die, of course we're going to pray to God, right? But if we have everything, right, money, then we still worship God and still put God first in our lives. That is true. So don't allow the things of this world to choke what, you know, we're going to bear when we listen to the word of God. Okay. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew. So everybody understand that, right? And the third one, of course, they cannot keep it. That's the problem. Keep it is very difficult. Just like for you and I nowadays. Right? Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Verse 23. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Here, we're talking about how this good ground. What does it mean to have good ground? What does it mean to have good ground? Name, please. Give me a name, please. Ruth, where are you? What does it mean to have a good ground? Okay. Okay. That's good. That's good. But it has to begin with a good ground. You know, because the Bible always describes the earth is just like our hearts, right? The earth just like our heart. So what does it mean to have a good ground? Yes?
Open heart.
Yes. Actually, open heart, right? Heart of humility. You know, sometimes, just like I share with you, when I talk to, you know, to other people, when I tell them I'm a pastor, the minute, you know, they heard I'm a pastor because I'm young and Asian, they preach to me, right? And they never want me really to even talk the word of God to them, right? And this kind of heart is not good. So that's why one day, maybe some of you, right, have your PhD, right? Maybe you become an MD, right? You get your MBA, whatever it is. And you come to listen to God's word. And all of a sudden, because the person who's speaking up here is not as educated as you are. Because of this, you don't want to listen. That's the kind your heart can never bear fruit. And the same thing, spiritually speaking, the same thing too. Just like the Pharisees and the scribes. Why they not be able to listen to our Lord Jesus Christ? Because our Lord Jesus Christ is only the son of the carpenter. He himself is not even a carpenter, right? If you are son of one, this means, you know, maybe you don't even know how to do carpentry, but you just know your dad, you know, do carpentry, right? That's why they're not willing to open their heart to listen. Just like nowadays, why you and I have such difficult time preaching to Caucasian? Why? Because how can the true church of God preach by Asian people. Really think about this. Jesus Christ, he's the God of what? The Western world, right? Not East, right? So that's why one time we were in Pacifica, we had a fog fest. Fog fest is that, you know, Pacifica is very foggy, right? So every year they have this fog fest. So we went to a booth. Then all of a sudden this Caucasian man came by the booth. And he had all this, you know, yellow toga and stuff on, right? And he said to us, "My brothers, what are you guys doing? You guys would have, you know, you guys would have worshiped Buddha, not Jesus," right? Because we have a booth in the TJC and stuff like that, right? He has no shoe and stuff on, right? And he's Caucasian. So the minute he sees us worshiping God, worshiping Jesus, he thinks it's very strange, right? Why? Because he wants us to meditate with him, right? To worship Buddha, right? It's very strange. But that's the way they look at us. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ, God, he always do something that is very unique, right? Always very unique, right? He bring the race, Eastern culture, Eastern world, Eastern religion, right? To preach the true and living God. Just like Jesus. Why was he born where? Where was he born? In Bethlehem, right? And what city did he grow up in? Nazareth, right? And then when, you know, Philip said to who? To somebody, right? Nathaniel? Who did he say to? He said to somebody, right? Hey, you know, Jesus from Nazareth, he's the Savior. And what did he, how did he respond? What good things can come from Nazareth, right? Just like nowadays, what good thing can come from China, right? Everything in, from China is junk, right? Except for the gospel that we have. Really, right? So many people did have this kind of mentality. But you and I must prove them wrong in the sense that we have the Spirit of God and the true Word of God inside of us. So that's why here, many denominations cannot understand it. When they listen to the Word of God, they cannot understand it. Remember, right? Let's go to Matthew. Chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 13, right? Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And look at verse 14, right? Verse 14, it pertaining to many denominations out there. So then the answer, "Some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, and other Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Actually, many people think that Jesus Christ is one of them. But then Jesus asked his disciple, just like nowadays he asks you and I, "But who do you say that I am?" This is very important, right? Why so many people do not follow God's Ten Commandments? Just like the Sabbath. If they truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God, they would believe God's commandment. And Sabbath is one of them. But nowadays, everybody always talking about love this and love that, and love covers everything. We do not need to follow God's word. If they truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then when Jesus said, "If you want to enter the heavenly kingdom, you must be born again of water and spirit." That's what Jesus said. You and I did not say that. Jesus told us that. So anyone who born of woman must be born again through water and spirit if they want to enter the heavenly kingdom. But nowadays, nobody believes it anymore. For example, the Baptist Church, right? I mean, the church name is the Baptist Church. You would think that they stress so much on baptism, right? Is that true? No. So the Baptist Church, why did they perform baptism? Who say no just now? Why do we perform baptism? Why the Baptist perform baptism? Is it for salvation? Yes, formality. Actually, when you become a member at Baptist Church, and then if you want to be baptized, you go ahead and get baptized. And when they baptize a person, they always make sure the water in the right temperature, right? Like 96.9, right? And make sure the pool is big enough so people don't hit their head. You go online, you read it, right? They stress all those things. But you only baptize if you wanted to. Why? Formality. And they call a Baptist church. But Jesus said very clear, you must be born again of water and spirit. Very clear. So that's why here, Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? Look at verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Really, Peter, even though sometimes he's very straightforward, right? He very rushed with his answer, but most time he had the right answer. Here he said, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. So for you to understand the word of God, flesh and blood, this means human being, you and I, we really cannot understand God's word. This is very important, right? So any church do not have the promised Holy Spirit, then there's no way they can understand the word of God. Because Jesus said here, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. You know, you can see, right? For example, Boston College, right? Because Boston College, my wife went to Boston College. So almost every professor there, they are theologians, right? But most of them, they don't believe in God. Why? Because after studying the Bible for so many years, because they don't have the Spirit to guide them, they just believe that so many things here doesn't make sense. Because of this, there's no God. You guys know that, right? Most of theologians, they don't believe in God, right? I mean, you guys still in high school. When you go to college, you will know, right? And try to stay away from taking any kind of religious classes in college, right, when you go there, right? Because actually, it's no longer a religion that we know of, but rather it's just like science, right? When they teach you religion, just like science. So that's why without the Holy Spirit, that's why Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So in other words, if you want to understand the word of God, just like the fourth ground, we must pray to God. If we don't pray to God, if the Holy Spirit is not inside of us, there's no way you and I can understand the word of God. You know, when I was in college, I studied philosophy and psychology, right? That's what I studied. So when I first came to TJC, I started to study the Bible, right? I really couldn't understand anything at all. I mean, I read maybe 100 philosophical books, right? And philosophy books sometimes is very difficult, right? I read it one time, I understand, I just put it in the garbage. But the Bible, even just from the beginning, right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That is so profound, right? Cannot understand it. But the night that I received the Holy Spirit, when I read the Bible, why? Because that night when I received the Holy Spirit, and then God said to me, read 1 Peter, right? When I was praying, the voice came to my heart and my head, hey, read 1 Peter. Back then, I didn't know where 1 Peter was, right? So it's in the dark. I was looking for 1 Peter. And the minute I found 1 Peter and I read the first verse, the word of God came out of the Bible, right? And come right into my heart. And every verse after that, when I read it, it did exactly the same thing. Then I knew that the Bible is the word of God back then. But before the Holy Spirit, so that's why for you and I to understand God's word, you must read the Bible and you must pray. If you only pray without reading the Bible, you have no food for the Spirit. If you only pray, if you only read without the Spirit of God, this means no vision. You cannot see. Because all of us, without the Holy Spirit, we are blind. We cannot see it. But only when we pray and fill with God's Spirit, then God's Spirit will reveal to us the things that are secret, the things that belong to God, only the Spirit of God. So that's why here, right, Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood, always remember this. Always remember this. So in other words, if you listen to any ministers, any elders, anyone in church, if they only use their own opinions to share with you about the Bible, then you must not listen to them. They must use the Word of God to interpret the Word of God. Because to the end days, this can be very difficult for you and I to stand firm. Why? Because Jesus said, take heed that you will not be deceived. If you don't understand the word of God from the beginning, then sooner or later, you have no root in yourself. Because if you don't understand it, how can you accept it inside your heart? There's no way. But when you understand it, when you meditate upon it, you understand, you put deep inside your heart, and then you'll be able to accept it. This is very important. Because without accepting the word of God, there's no way you and I can continue to grow. And on the end days, you'll be deceived. Where's the Antichrist going to come from? Where? Because people all think the Antichrist is have two horns or something like that, right? Where the Antichrist, what the Bible say about the Antichrist, where it's come from? Brother, you know the answer? Sisters. What's that? Yes, in church. In church, right? Let's go to 1 John. 1 John. 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might make manifest that none of them were of us. So don't think that on the end days, some external force is the Antichrist. No. On the end days, one of us, one of you will be the Antichrist. Why? Because your heart will not be in the right place. So you use the word of God incorrectly. Not to only hurt yourself, also hurt your brothers and sisters. Maybe one day I will be the Antichrist, you understand? So that's why I must study God's word. And you must be study God's word. On the end days, the power of Satan is what? Where is the power of Satan on the end days? If Satan come and make ugly faces toward you, right? You cast it out. But on the end days, it will not be like this. Right? Here, let's compare. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation. You guys can tell me what is the similarity of these three verses I'm going to read to you, okay? Revelation chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 3. Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven diadems on his head. Revelation 13, verse 1. Revelation 13, verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his head, on his horn, ten crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Then let's go to Revelation chapter 17, verse 3. Revelation 17, verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on the beast, which is full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. These three verses, can you find a similarity of these three verses? Of the dragon, the beast, and the beast that the woman sat on? What are similarities? Brother. Yes, they all have seven heads and ten horns. What does it mean, have seven heads and ten horns? What does it mean? Horn, what does first? Horn, what does it mean? Horn. And animals, right? Look at animals who have horns and stuff, right? What they use their horn for? What's that? Yes, attack other animals, right, to defend themselves. Actually, horn represents power. Power, right? And where's their power? It's inside their head. What is that head? Actually, your thought, your thinking. Do you understand? So on the end days, many of us will be deceived. Why? Because the way we think will not be according to Christ. So if their power is in their head, what kind of head you should have, brother? What kind of head you should have for evil power not to overcome you or deceive you? Okay, okay. Okay, maybe what kind of mind you should have? Okay, a pure mind, but the Bible says, right, some kind of mind. You need to have this kind of mind. What kind of mind is it? Sisters? Yes. Who say that? Yes. You must have the mind of Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, there's no way the evil one will have his power over your mind. What does it mean have the mind of Christ? This means you must be saturated with the Word of God. Everything in your head must be filled with the Word of God. Because Satan, his greatest weapon on the end days is what? Let me read it. You can see what is the greatest weapon, right? Chapter 12, Revelation. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast with him. So what is his power? What is Satan's greatest power? What does he do? Yes, he deceives his mind, you understand? His head, he deceives. So that's why. But right now, is Satan fully released? Right now? Okay, let's go to chapter 20. Right, chapter 20. Verse 1 to verse 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. Verse 2. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Verse 3. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nation no more, till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. So to be in prison, to cast down to the bottomless pit, what does this mean? What does it mean? Is Satan behind a bar right now? In prison? What does this mean? It's related to chapter 12 we just read, right? What does it mean? What does it mean? What's that? Yeah, yes. Yes, right now he cast on earth, right? But what does it mean he's in prison? I read verse 3 again, right? And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nation no more. What does it mean that he's... What does that mean he's in prison? I'm sorry? Weekend, okay. I just read something that's very loud, right? The only one word I read is very loud. What is it? Yes, deceive. You see here, right? That he should deceive the nation no more. So right now, Satan is not released yet. So if you and I are deceived right now, pity us, right? Pity us. Why? Because right now, his power is very limited to deceive us. But on the end days, you'll see very clearly. So that's why now you and I must come to this kind of seminar, have fellowship with one another in the Word of God, so we can build our faith, so the Word of God can grow inside our hearts, so we have the mind of Christ. So we have the mind of Christ, Satan cannot deceive us. But sorry to say, on the end days, our Lord Jesus Christ said, many will be deceived, even the very elect. But make sure it's not you and I. Make sure none of our brothers and sisters that we know, right? But on the end days, will be very difficult, right? So that's why we're talking about the pair of the sower. The most important things you must have is a good heart. Understand the Word of God. Just like nowadays, right? When we talk about we're the only one saved church, do you believe it? Really, do you believe it? I notice a lot of your age at this time, you guys don't believe it. If you don't believe it, this means Satan already deceived you. Because according to the Bible, church is what? What is church? What's that? Yes, we are the church, right? And church is the body of Christ, right? How many bodies does Christ have? Only one. And church is the bride of Christ. How many brides does he have? One. So in other words, if you don't believe you're the only saved church, then you must go find another one that's saved. Even if you don't believe you're the only saved church, but you must find one church that on the end days will be saved. If it's not this one, it must be another one. If you find one, then you tell me about it, okay? I might go with you. Okay? But right now, this is the only one. I grew up, I went to the Catholic Church for many years, and I was pretty much considered a devout Greek Orthodox, right? Because my mother, my adopted mother was Greek. So I was a Greek Orthodox for many years. I tell you, when I went to the Greek church, they speak Latin, they speak Greek, they speak Hebrews, right? And the priests, they wear such wonderful robe, right? It's all gold and everything. It looks so majestic, right? And I love their little hat. Not little, their huge hat that they wear, right? When you go there, really, you step into the church, everything's all gold-plated and everything, right? But when I sit down, there's no life. You understand? I listen to, to many sermons, but there's no life. I don't feel anything at all, right? The only time that I shed tears is during Christmas and Easter. They put the incense out, right? And the incense would burn my eyes, so I shed tears. Really? First time I came to the True Jesus Church, really, this is a true testimony, right? I came to True Jesus Church for the first time, right? And first, in Boston, we rented a building, right? Say, wow, this church is very nice, right? And then we walk in, like, no, Woody, we cannot go there. That's the other church. We have a couple of rooms in the basement, right? So I'm like, that's very strange, right? We rent a couple of rooms in the basement. Because I used to go to Greek Orthodox church. It's huge, right? And all the pews are like 1,000 years old, right? And it's all oak, right? Very beautiful, right? Then I come to TJC. We rent 2 rooms in the basement. Of course, I sat there waiting for someone to come out, right? Instead, they wheel out the television. I'm talking about the old, not LCD TV, right? This old TV, right? Like, this is really weird, right? And then when they took the chairs out, of course, all those steel chairs are rusty, right? The steel chair get rusty and creaky, whatever it is, right? Now, of course, when I look at all the members, they're all Asian, right? Very strange, right? Asian. Then when they put on the TV, right, plus the VCR, the VCD, what do they call it? VHS tape, right? The thing is all snowy, right? Very snowy. And then the pastor stand behind the pulpit and there's a translator, right? And the translator also translates in Chinglish, right? Right? You understand? But during the time, I shed so much tear when I listen to the Word of God. Why? Because there's life inside of it, right? So don't think nowadays we want to preach a Caucasian. You must have the language. You must speak English. No. It's not about the language. Of course, it's good if you preach to an English-speaking person, you must speak English, right? It's good. But that's not the most important thing. If that is the case in Hawaii, a lot of them are Hawaiians, right? They speak English. They eat the same food, right? How many people baptized the last 6 years? Very few. It's not the, always remember that, right? Don't think, our church is too Chinese, right? That's why we cannot go out and preach the gospel. No. Our church is too weak in the Spirit of God. That's why, right? Because if we have the Spirit of God inside of us, any place you go to, you preach, the power of God will be upon us. Because when it comes to our hearts, there's no such thing as language barrier or culture barrier. Only between the darkness and the light that is God. That's why when God sent Paul to go out and preach the gospel, right? He did not say, preach to those, because you speak Latin, speak to the one, right? They speak Latin, right? And make sure you know the culture well, right? No. Say what? Go and open the eyes from darkness to light, right? Where did it say that? Where did it say that? From the hand of Satan to the power of God. From eternal condemnation to eternal life. This is nothing to do with culture, nothing to do with languages. It has to do with the power of good. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. Where does it say that? Remember. Yes? Yes, can you read this? It's Acts 26:18. Amen. Yes. So in other words, it's good that God will use us as a tool, right? If you're educated, it's good. You can speak to those who are educated, right? But the most important is not because you speak English, not because you speak Chinese, not because you speak Cambodian, because you have the power of God inside of you. That is the most important thing. And then the languages, right? Remember Moses, right? You think Moses was a smart person? What do you think? When he was in Egypt for 40 years, right? Was he a smart person? What do you think? Let's go to Acts. Let's go to the book of Acts. Let's see. Chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egyptian and was mighty in words and deeds. Actually, he was brilliant, right? He said here, but did God use him during the time of 40 years because he was so brilliant? He knows everything about Egyptian. Did God use him? No. When did God use him? After 40 years with the sheep and the donkey and the cattle, right? You understand? Every day in the wilderness, who do you think you're going to talk to? Some scholar or something? No, some goats and donkey, right? So that's why when God called him, right, to go and speak to Pharaoh, say, Lord, I'm not so eloquent, right? But by this time, Moses is right, you understand? After 40 years. Actually, when I came out of college, my Spanish was very good because I, you know, after my grad school, I see clients who speak Spanish, right? But after 10 years not speaking, I cannot speak anymore, right? Can you imagine after 40 years? So what Moses said was, right, Lord, I cannot speak at all. That's why did God use him during a time? Because his heart was in the right place. This is the most important thing. Because that's why God said he's the most humble man in the face of the earth. And that's when the time is ready to be used. Not the time when he was after 40 years in the palace, right? With the Pharaoh. So always remember that, brothers and sisters. Yes, it's good to have the tools of this world, right? To be educated, to speak English. But that's only a very small part of preaching and spreading the gospel. What's more important is the Spirit of God inside of us. So when we're talking about the parable of the sower, you must have the right heart. If you don't have the right heart, there's no way you can be able to accept the Word of God. Then if you cannot accept the Word of God, how can you keep it? When I plant, you know, bulbs, tulips and things like that, right? You usually plant those things. If you don't plant it deep enough, what happened to it? All the rodents will come and eat it up, right? Dig it up because they smell it, right? They take it up. Just dig deep enough. So those rodents, they cannot smell it, and they cannot dig it up to take it away. Then next year, all those things, like the tulips, whatever, will come up. In our hearts, the same thing. Just like now, for the next 2 weeks, you and I listen to the Word of God. Make sure you open your hearts wide and put it inside so deep that when we go home, Satan cannot snatch out of it. Right? And only then you can continue to take root. Right? Take root downward. Right? What is the tallest bamboo? Anybody know what the tallest bamboo? How tall is the tallest bamboo? You watch all those kung fu movies, right? The big bamboos, right? They're all flying from one bamboo to another, right? You think those bamboo, I mean, they're not even that big. You can pretty much, you know, hang on them without breaking it, right? For you to do that, the bamboo must have what? What is the tallest bamboo in the world right now? 150 feet, right? I think it's in Burma or Myanmar, right? Now, right? You know how they grow those bamboos, right? They just put like a shoot inside the ground. They put a huge rock on top of it. Why they put a huge rock on top of it, brother? The shoot is only very little, right? But they put inside the ground and put a rock on top of it. So they cannot grow up, right? And it yes. So the root can go down without coming, the bamboo coming up. So for 2-3 months, the bamboo just take root downward, take root down, take root down. The minute they take the big rock out, the thing just shoot up and become so strong. We also must do this, right? Every seminar we go to, every time we read the Bible, we must take root downward. Continue to take root downward. The minute God wants to use us, He will take off that rock and we'll shoot up, right? And then when God uses us, we won't fall. Because when God uses us, yes, the rains will descend, the floods will come, right? The wind will blow. This means trial and tribulation will come all different aspects of our lives, even now. So that's why when you go home, right, if you play video games, of course you can play video games, but don't put those things before Lord Jesus Christ. When you get up in the morning, you should not get up with your feet first, right? Your knees should hit the ground first, praying to God every morning. Right now, even though I'm here, right, and my niece is in Dallas, the whole place set up, right? I just moved there several days ago. Right now, I ask them to have their own RHTS, right? So right, they do 4 to 6 hours a day, pray and read the Bible, right? My wife, because my wife have a couple of weeks off from work, right? So that's what they're doing. They get up at 7, they finish at 12. Right? They read and they pray. So I'm very joyful to hear them do that, right? Why? Because as a minister, Satan will always attack a family. There's no doubt, right? So they also need to be strong for me to be able to serve God, right? So for all of you right now, really, put God first in your life. And read God's word and put it deep inside your heart. Because I'm so envy of you guys, right? I didn't come to know Jesus Christ until I was 27 years old. But most of you are what, 17, 16, 18? You've been in Christ all your life. And how much Bible knowledge you already have inside your heart already. Imagine you're my age at 40 years old. You should have 20 PhDs in the Bible already, right? You should know the Bible just like the back of your hand. But that if you make determination to study the Bible as much as you study in the world. Right? You study so many things in the world, you gain nothing on the end, really. The only reason we study, what? To make money, to live, you know, in this world. But to study the Bible, to put it deep down inside our heart, it's all have to do with salvation and eternal life. Not only for us, also for our family members, right? Or for other brothers and sisters. So really, when you go back home, I really challenge all of you to make a determination. Every single morning you get up, you read the Bible half an hour, and you pray half an hour. It's only 1 hour. It's really nothing. 1 hour is really nothing at all, right? Sometimes you watch TV, right? Couple episodes is 1 hour already, right? But if you do that every single day, of course, you might be able to do it 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, even 1 month. But what you need to do is for the whole year. When you come back to RHTS, it's not no longer in the bottom of the mountain trying to climb up, right? When you read and pray every day for 1 hour, when you come to RHTS again, you're already on top of the mountain. The only place you're going to go after on top of the mountain is the third heaven. You understand? So now when you pray to God, you connect to Him right away. So have that kind of heart, right? I know it's not easy. Even for me too, it's difficult, right? It was easy, and then we wouldn't preach it, right, and share one another. But it's always difficult. But really, make a determination. Make your heart to be like the foreground. So when you read the Word of God, the Spirit of God will come upon you and make you understand it. And only when you understand it, you can accept it. If you don't accept it, how can you keep the Word of God? But most important of all, when you're keeping the Word of God, the way to continue to keep it, you must practice the Word of God. This means in your daily lives, when you're at school, when you're with your friends. When you hang out with any Gentile friend, they swear, they curse, they even smoke, right? This and that, right? But are we doing the same thing? I hope not, right? Sometimes I just got rid of my Facebook. Not got rid of it. I got rid of it about 8 months already, right? My Facebook. Because we come to the point, it's like it's too crazy, right? But when I was going on your Facebook, if I did not know that you're from TJC, I cannot tell that you're from TJC. The language you use, right? The picture that you post, all these things is not edifying to us. Anything you want to post on there, say in the name of Jesus Christ, I post this thing on there, right? And to see if it goes together, right? And sometimes we use all those acronyms, right? It's really horrible, right? Maybe, you know, for us, it's on, you know, Facebook, the whole world can see it, right? But so many of us are so brave to put those kind of things on there, and then we have the gut to say we are from TJC. It's not so good, right? It's not so good. We must sanctify ourselves. This means we must separate ourselves from the people in the world. It's nothing wrong to use Facebook. But let's use Facebook to edify others. Let's use Facebook to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. So make a determination to make our hearts the heart that belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's kneel down and pray together to conclude the morning classes. Let's kneel down and pray together.